Wendy, and with me is political dissident, teacher, and Twin Peaks fan, Urson Dayrosh.
2 weeks left. I'm so excited for that finale.
You're listening to Injustice for All, political discourse from our literal couch to yours. Episode number 2, America, a country of trolls. Lately, we've been talking a lot about a phenomenon we like to call Troll Nation. We define Troll Nation as a country in which its citizens are more concerned with the culture wars and trolling the other side than they are with actual policy and what's going on in Washington. I was recently watching a Milo Yiannopoulos interview. I know, I'm a masochist. And the only interesting thing he had to say, and I'm paraphrasing here, was, nobody cares about policy. They care about the culture wars. He went on to then explain that most of the outlandish things said online by the alt-right shouldn't really have been taken seriously because it's only meant to troll and upset people on the left. So we're going to talk about that today. And, Urson, what are your thoughts? Do you see this happening a lot? Does Milo actually write about something here?
I really like Milo. I don't know about you. He really entertains the hell out of me. I think
he's got a good work going. That's for sure.
He really entertains the hell out of me. I think he's a really funny guy, and I don't believe half the shit he says, but he does make some good points, and that's a very good point that he brings up. I think the right, or the alt-right, or whatever we want to call it, because the right, if we're defining that as Ted Cruz, Paul Ryan, and those guys, I don't even know if that really exists anymore. I think we have I think the right wing is like I said last week, so far gone that I don't even really consider it a legitimate political party. But I think they've got it confused because it's all fucking twisted. And hopefully this week, maybe we'll have to do 5 episodes on this to try to figure it out, but we'll try to get down to it this week. The problem is they've got it all twisted, and it's twisted in people's minds, and I hate to sound all Alex Jones conspiracy theorist, but I have to think that there was some purpose to this. Like, for instance, let me draw a parallel here. When the conservatives, the Republican Party, the GOP, when they were having problems winning the South, you know, they came up with the Southern strategy to try to win over the Southerners. You know, let's go down there and talk about how we're for the common man and the worker. And I think now the alt-right in 2016, 2017, and prior, I think they were like, how can we get the young kids involved? Because for some reason, young kids think this shit is cool. Like, when I was a kid growing up, none of my friends ever walked around saying, like, yeah, Reagan, that's my boy. Like, nobody said that.
Right.
Nobody, and then...
Yeah, nobody thought the president was cool.
No, and then after Reagan, you know, you had Bush the Elder. Nobody was walking around saying, yeah, Bush, that's my boy. Yeah, man, we're going into Iraq. Yeah, Kuwait. Yeah, we're going to go liberate Kuwait, man, from Saddam. Nobody was saying that. But now with Trump, you literally see young people running around saying Trump's their, you know, their best friend. So I think there's a lot of problems with Trump has not only been marketed for people that don't have anything in common with him, so they've taken like poor people, the working poor, working class people that have absolutely nothing in common with Trump, or any of his policy. None of his policy would actually help them in a positive way. They've convinced those people to go vote for Donald Trump. But also young people. They convinced young people that, as Milo says, he's got a picture of himself where he looks like he just got out of Hot Topic. You know, he's got like some leather pants on and his hair spiked up and stuff. And I don't know if he says it, but somebody comments with a comment under the photo is that this is what the new punk rock looks like. And no, this is not what the new fucking punk rock looks like. This is Donald Trump is the man. And punk rock has always been about bringing the man down, not saying, yay, we're for the man. It just doesn't make any sense. It's all twisted.
Well, yeah, I think you make a good point because he does say in that same interview, being conservative is the new punk rock. So they for sure have made an effort to, like you said, like court young people. And how do they do that? Well, in the 8 years of Obama, where the perception, whether this is true or not, the perception is that he was super left, he was very progressive, he was ultra, you know, as they like to put it, like SJW, you know, concerned with social justice matters. And so, well, what do you tell young kids? Well, rebel against the man who they're convincing you is, you know, President Obama and his, like, you know, his mission to make every, you know, everything equal and blah, blah, blah. And say, like, well, Donald Trump, like you said, a billionaire who's, like, made money off the backs of the working poor and, like, denied access to his apartments to, like, black people and been sued over it and all this. He's counterculture. He's cool, man. Wear your MAGA hat to your prom because Donald Trump, he's punk rock. You know, it's the antithesis of everything they tell you. You know, that's like Milo's shtick. Like his whole shtick is, well, everyone's telling you to be sensitive towards trans people and women and black people. And if you really want to rebel, like, use the N-word and call feminists feminazis and trans people trannies, you know?
And why are these things so not wanting to be talked about? Like, Milo says, talk about what they don't want you to talk about.
Right.
And this is where it gets twisted. He says, in his book, Dangerous, he says that you should talk about things that they don't want you to talk about. But when anybody talks about women's rights,
racism,
yeah, things like this, people freak the fuck out and they don't want to talk about it. So, okay, I'm talking about things that people don't want to talk about.
Right!
But in Milo's world, that's not what he's trying to say. You know, he doesn't want you to talk about, you know, racism or transgender rights. As a matter of fact, Shapiro, who we talked a little bit about last week, he's on Fox News this week talking about a transgender rights situation.
Mm-hmm.
Something to the effect of schools teaching kids about being transgender.
I think the article I read was something about a kindergarten teacher who had a student in her class who's only like 5 years old, and the child had expressed feelings of being like trans, and she had some ceremony or something in her classroom for the child because the child expressed these things to her. And there was, of course, all kinds of moral outrage about it, even though, you know, they're supposedly against outrage culture.
But Shapiro said
that it was wrong.
Did Shapiro say it was wrong to teach the kids about transgender?
Yeah, that was the whole thing. You know, it morphed into this, like, is it okay for us to normalize being transgender and then by extension being gay? Should we be should public school teachers or public school programs of any kind be, you know, like in educating children about, you know, these issues? And of course, like, the more conservative people, like, all lost their collective minds about no, even though they want them to pray in schools and have teachers teach that. They don't want anybody to say that if you're trans, you know, that's okay.
That's what pisses me off about Shapiro. Like, he'll go on the Rubin Report, which we watched, and he'll act like he's so open to conversation and he's so open to discourse and he's really
libertarian, live and let live.
Yeah, he's really, you know, he's really open to civil rights and civil liberties. And but then you hear this and he doesn't know we shouldn't teach kids about, you know, transgenderism. You know, it's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. Then when you bring it up, you're an SJW for even wanting to talk about that.
Right.
And that's how they've painted it, going back to Milo and what we started off with. That's how they've painted it. If you talk about racism, sexism, homophobia,
transphobia,
women's rights, I mean, any of this stuff, if you talk about any of it in even the most, you know, passing way, then you're an SJW. And no, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to, and this is the problem, this is the real root of the problem, by not talking about that stuff and by them demonizing that, they're suppressing these issues. They don't want to have a conversation about any of these issues. And if you want to have a conversation about these issues, then there's something wrong with you.
Right, while simultaneously painting themselves as rebels for talking about things that people don't want to talk about. So it's like, on one side of the coin, like you said, they're demonizing people who talk about any of these things and calling them, like, pejorative names. He's famous for saying feminazi and tranny and all this kind of stuff. So he's, like, simultaneously demonizing people for talking about these things and, like you said, trying to make, like, a hostile environment anytime anybody does want to talk to him. And then, meanwhile, like, oh, but I'm the rebel who talks about things that people don't want to talk about. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I mean, your whole thing is free speech, but you make a concerted effort to shut down certain types of speech that you don't want to hear either.
And what the fuck is he saying that nobody wants to talk about? What the fuck is he saying that nobody wants to hear?
Well, he's, like, super, super, super derogatory towards, like, Muslims and stuff. That's one of his big things, too.
I don't understand how this has been misconstrued. You know, look.
Sure you do. People like the narrative they like.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk also about, and these two things kind of go together. Let's talk about some of your, Wendy, for all you guys out there. Wendy is extremely active on Facebook. You can find her, search her out, send her a friend's request. She's very active on Facebook, a lot of groups, a lot of political discussion forums and stuff like that. You've really been at it this week, and you've encountered a lot of, first of all, let me say that Facebook, we use Facebook, guys, to promote this show, but other than that, Facebook is like...
the seventh circle of hell?
Yeah, it's the fucking human cesspool. You've encountered a lot of women and men, but particularly some of the women that you encountered this week, kind of older, pearl-clutching grandma types, who, when you bring up certain issues, they want to demonize and criticize heavily like certain groups of people while also saying, you know, praise the Lord.
Well, yeah, and I watched, like you said, we were kind of going through the big Reuben interviews in an effort to, you know, not be in an echo chamber, listen to the other side. We were willing to hear what they had to say. And two of the big interviews you watched was, like you said, Ben Shapiro and Milo Yiannopoulos. They're very different, but the one thing that they had in common was, oh, free speech. Everybody should be able to say whatever they want. We shouldn't live in an echo chamber. Liberals and leftists, they want to shut down free speech. They don't want you to talk about Muslims, and they don't want you to be critical of feminism or Black Lives Matter and blah, blah, blah. So they both, during this interview, just expressed so many opinions about how everyone should be heard, everyone should talk. We shouldn't live in echo chambers where you're only talking to people who agree with you. Milo especially will say, like, I want Richard Spencer out in the open. Sunlight's the best disinfectant. Let's have a talk. One of his famous things that he likes to say is, like, the cure for, like, bad speech is more speech. So I was like, cool. All right, I'll follow these two guys. I'll see the kind of shit they post, and I'll go in the comment section, and I will engage. Because you told me this wasn't an echo chamber, I will engage with people. Sometimes, like you said, every now and then I agree with what Ben Shapiro has to say. Every now and then I'll agree with something, you know, Milo has to say or some part of it. And when I was in these comments, like you said, these comment section this week, I was surprised by who was there. Like you said, like pearl-clutching Christian conservative grandmas following people like Milo Yiannopoulos, and then if anybody says anything bad about Trump, like, loses their mind, you know? Or, like, on Ben Shapiro's page, I argued with one woman who just kept telling me that I was horrible because I didn't like Trump, and I'm like, you do know Ben Shapiro is a never Trumper, right? Like, he's very, very, even though he's conservative, like, he's critical of Trump. And the thing I had to keep explaining to people, if I disagreed about something like that they posted, like I would say, I don't agree about this trans student issue or whatever. There would just be all these people telling me, like, get the fuck off of here then. I'm like, wait. Isn't this the place you're supposed to go because you don't want to be in the echo chamber? And then they were criticizing me. Well, why do you follow Milo Yiannopoulos, but you all also follow, like, you know, Ms. Magazine, which is like a feminist magazine? And I'm like, because I'm doing what they always say we should be doing, which is listening to different sides. But then when you listen to different sides, they criticize you and laugh at you and tell you get the fuck out of here. Well, wait a minute, I thought you wanted me to listen to your side. I can only listen and not have a disagreeing opinion. I can only be here, but I can't dissent. The only people who have a right to speak are the people who are in full agreement. That doesn't make any sense. You're all hypocrites.
Yeah, well, that's the work, isn't it?
It's a lie.
It's a complete lie. And the problem is, again, I don't think that this can be stated enough. The problem is that these people are taking the stance that they want to have a conversation.
Right.
And that free speech is important to them. And that they don't want to live in echo chambers and all this crap. But anything that you bring up to the contrary of what their followers are saying, you're stoned to death.
Yeah. I actually had one woman who told me she was a Christian who was defending the Bible and saying that she voted for Trump because she was a Christian. And I was trying to tell her that, like, if you're a Christian and you're voting for Trump, like, I'm sorry, there's just a lot of things that I can show you to the contrary that this is not a Christian man. And she literally called me a cunt. A cunt.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes to show you the
hypocrisy.
I wanted to call this episode of the podcast. We debated during the week back and forth. I wanted to call this episode Republicans, What Will They Not Tolerate? I mean, they will go to great lengths to tolerate anything. We live in this 2017 world where you literally have middle-aged and older white church-going women calling you a cunt if you want to talk about, say, black rights or transgender issues.
Or be in any way critical of Donald Trump.
Or, yeah, absolutely. You cannot criticize anything that Donald Trump does. So they don't have any problems going to church on Sunday, leaving, and then calling you, you know, a piece of shit.
Right.
So this is all completely fucking backwards. Because, again, Donald Trump, most of the people that voted for Donald Trump voted against their self-interest. Look, most of the people within the sound of my voice, if you're listening to me in the United States of America, if you're listening abroad, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much. But if you're in the United States and you voted for Donald Trump and you're listening to me, which I'm imagining you're probably not at this point.
If you are, you're probably really enraged and triggered right now.
Yeah, most people don't have anything in common with Donald Trump. And so most of his platform isn't something that would... I mean, we really don't know what the man believes. He doesn't... He's so all over the place. But the things that he did say won't help the common working person, poor person, working poor person.
Or even middle class people.
Yeah. So, it's really fucked up. So where do you go to not be in an echo chamber? Another thing too is when you talk to people one-on-one, they're not... That's what's so fucked up about social media is when you talk to people one-on-one and you have a conversation with them, you know, that same woman that called you a cunt, she's not going to call you a cunt to your face. She'll do it on Facebook, right. But she's not going to do that, you know, face to face. So nobody's really conversing, that's what we should be doing. We should be having a conversation. We should be having a discourse, because we live in some really strange times where there's room. That's the thing. I do feel like a space has opened up for something else. And we kind of talked about that last week with the different parties and third parties and different political ideologies and stuff. Right. I feel like a space has opened up somewhere for something else. It's just, I'm scared of what that something else could turn into.
Well, and you make a good point, because the other thing that I would have to keep explaining to people, because like I said, I thought, well, this is the place to go where, you know, because like, you know, Ben Shapiro is a never Trumper libertarian conservative, you know, Milo, he's just kind of like a provocateur, but I'm just saying, like, if maybe there's people on these pages that don't necessarily fall into the, like, Ted Cruz conservative or Hillary Democrat, like, they're somewhere else on the map. So this is a place to go and, like, maybe hear a little bit different than you'd hear on CNN or Fox News. But I found that really wasn't the case. I mean, despite what they might be saying, what they might be writing, most of the followers were largely just the same kind of followers I run into on Breitbart. Super conservative, super right-wing, and they don't want to hear anything except for, like, conservative, like, stuff that toes the party conservative line. And the thing they would keep saying if I disagreed, even though supposedly I'm supposed to be somewhere where we're having a discourse, was, you're a troll. Because it's like I was saying at the beginning of the episode, like, everyone is in this left or right, conservative or Democrat, and if you're on the other side, you're my enemy and you're a troll. Like, any, if you go on Breitbart and you say something in disagreement, you're a troll. And if you go on CNN and you're like a conservative and you say, or you don't even have to be a conservative, just disagree, everyone's going to call you like a Trumper and say that you're an idiot and that you're a troll. Because maybe Milo's right. Like, maybe it is just a nation of trolls where the object is not to have a discourse, is not to talk, is not to find common ground, or not to listen and say, well, why do you think that? It's just, we're enemies, and if you're not on my side, you're a troll for the other side.
Yeah, Milo has built a brand, actually. He's built an entire brand.
Around trolling.
Around being a troll.
Right.
And he doesn't... I mean, you know, his word's not mine. I mean, he says it. Nobody cares about policy. They just care about, you know, the culture wars and trolling people. And so he's going to do that to draw attention to himself. He even says one of the tenets of his code of being Milo is to try to draw attention to yourself. So, but again, I go back to where this is all fucked up at is kids look at this, latch onto it, and think, oh yeah, you know, this is counterculture. This is going against the man. Actually, no, you're not going against the man. You're actually not contributing anything at all to the conversation. You're just, you're going to piss off a few people, absolutely. But do you really want to deny the Holocaust just to piss off some Jewish people?
Right.
Is that what you want to leave on this planet? I mean, is that the mark that, you know, you don't know, you could fucking die tomorrow. You could fucking die next week. You could die 2 weeks from now. Is that what you want to have left on society, is that you got on Twitter and denied the Holocaust to enrage some Jewish people?
Or just some liberals.
Yeah, and they want to talk about, you know, triggering people. These are some of the most triggered fucking people you will ever come across. I mean,
talk about the flag or Jesus and watch some triggering happen.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about this last week. If you say anything about Trump or Jesus or anything to the negative of that, you know, they literally flip the fuck out, you know. There's even a lot of, you know, we've talked about Milo and we've talked about Shapiro,
mm-hmm.
but I want to draw some attention to a lesser known figure. I came across this guy on Facebook. I don't know how. I follow a lot of right and left things on social media to try to, because I want to see what both sides are saying. And it was on some right-wing site, page, whatever. I was introduced to Mr. Rusty Humphreys. Now, I didn't know who the fuck this guy was, so I did some digging. And he was basically like, he's basically like a wannabe Rush Limbaugh.
Or like a wannabe Rush Limbaugh / Alex Jones.
He's like, I want to be Rush. He literally looks like Rush's, like, long-lost little brother. And he had a talk show out west, like in Arizona, somewhere out there. And he's not on the radio anymore, but he has a podcast. And he does live streaming on Facebook. And so if you want to go check him out, Rusty Humphreys, you can check him out on Facebook. He's got a podcast called The Rusty Rebellion, I believe it is, or The Rusty Revolution. What the fuck he's rebelling or revolting against, I have no idea. This guy is very staunchly conservative. Not in the Milo, Ben Shapiro, alt-right kind of way, but just in the classic Rush Limbaugh 90s kind of,
yeah,
kind of way. And this man needs, he literally needs counseling. And what the comments section, not, I can take what he has to say. It is extremely entertaining, folks. So if you haven't checked him out, check him out. It's extremely entertaining. But the comments section is so, and he doesn't have a lot of listeners. I don't want to say that. I don't know how many listeners he has, but it doesn't seem like a lot on Facebook or anything. But the comments section is hilarious. I mean, people really defending the most just vile, heinous shit. There was a kid who was dressed as a Confederate soldier holding a Confederate flag saluting a statue of Robert E. Lee in Virginia.
I think it was in Charlottesville, actually, at that same place.
Yeah.
Where the riots happened.
And he was really coming out in defense of this kid. Now, that's great. And hey, freedom of speech. There's nothing illegal about standing on the sidewalk with, you know, dressed as a fucking Confederate soldier with a Confederate flag. If you want to do that, more power to you. There was a young girl who was standing in his face telling him to go home. She wasn't screaming it at him. She was just standing in front of him saying, go home. Rusty Humphreys fucking just crucified this girl. And it's like, this is an example of everything that we're talking about. Rusty Humphreys is so ready to defend the Confederate dressed up Halloween guy, but the girl who's there to say, go home, he's not ready to defend her. Well, what about her freedom of speech to stand in front of him and tell him to go home? You see, it works both ways. And I think the Milos and the Ben Shapiros of the world, this is the point that I'm trying to make. With a guy like Rusty Humphreys or Rush Limbaugh or Alex Jones or Sean Hannity or some of these Tucker Carlson, these guys who are more mainstream, it's really easy to see what they're doing. But I feel like with a guy like Milo or a guy like Ben Shapiro or some of these other people who don't have as large of a platform, it's not quite as easy to see what they're doing, which is the same thing, but in this, they use some subterfuge. Am I making sense here?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that they also, it's like a cult of personality, like you said. You know, there's been a long history of talking heads on the left and the right, and people come and go, and they, you know, and we're kind of talking lately about, like, well, how's the conversation changed? You know, what's it looking like now? And like you said, these younger guys who sort of make their mark by appealing to younger people. You know, Rush Limbaugh, you can say what you want about Rush Limbaugh. The 18-year-old kids, most 18-year-old kids, are not, like, excited about Rush Limbaugh, even if they are conservative. But somebody like Milo, oh, yeah. You know, they're going crazy for that because, like you said, he makes his money off of saying, you know, he has shirts that say, like, nuke Mecca. They love it. They just love it because they perceive now as, like, well, your teachers and your pastor and your mom and dad would not, you know, would not think that was funny. So say it because it's funny. And I think he loves Trump. I don't know if you've ever seen Milo talk about Trump. And he calls him daddy, and he refers to Trump as daddy. And he loves everything daddy does. And he will tell you it's not because of policy. Because he even says Trump is inconsistent on policy. Milo Yiannopoulos will admit this. And that he doesn't really know anything about policy. But that's not why he loves him, and that's not why his followers love him. He admits that they love him because he's a troll. He's a provocateur. Trump is the one who will go out there and shit talk all his enemies and tweet at people he hates. I mean, Trump is a Facebook troll. Like, we have elected a Facebook troll as president of the United States, and then we're expecting, like, normal everyday people to, like, be more high-minded than that.
Shapiro is the same way. He goes on all these interviews. He'll do interviews, Joe Rogan, Dave Rubin, whatever, where he comes across as a very practical conservative. Mm-hmm. Start following his Facebook page or the Daily Wire on Twitter, which is his news outlet that he created after he left Breitbart. And it's not reflective at all of the way he acts in these interviews.
Absolutely not. I would agree. I was very surprised after seeing the way he like conducted himself on Ruben, and that they had a lot of common ground, because you know Ruben purports to be a classical liberal, and Shapiro said on the show he was a conservative libertarian. So both kind of centrist, but like on different sides of the centrist coin, you know, and they found a lot of common ground to talk about. So like you said, I figured when I started following him, he's not like an, and actually him and Milo have gotten into it and said stuff about each other during interviews. And they're not like, you know, having some big circle jerk together or anything. You know, Shapiro is a lot more like, you know, he's Jewish. He's conservative and modest about, you know, certain cultural things, that Milo is just like, you know, making dick jokes and whatever. But they, you know, Shapiro seemed, like you said, so rational and reasonable and willing to be critical of Trump while still being conservative. So I figured when I go follow his page, this is the kind of things he would be writing about, like you said, for The Wire, and this is the kind of things he'd be sharing. It's not. It is the most clickbaity, culture war, outrage culture bullshit. It's like, oh, a coach got fired for praying. Everyone get into the comments section and have like a big Christian pile on. It's, oh, this trans teacher this, or this Confederate statue this. Nothing about policy. Nothing about Trump. Nothing about the war in Afghanistan. You know, the sheriff, our pyro. None of it. Just culture war clickbait bullshit.
Very little about policy. He will share some articles and stuff, write some articles. He has people writing articles for him. Some of it is, the problem is that he's on these interview shows, these podcasts, saying that he didn't vote for Trump. He didn't vote for Hillary Clinton either. He said he didn't vote for anyone for president. Yet he comes out so strong for Trump. Like, if you say anything negative about Trump to Ben Shapiro, like, he freaks the fuck out.
And then he criticizes the media, really goes
to bat for Trump, and then finds something to help prop Trump up. Well, the media is out to get him. Well, the FBI is out to get him, or whatever, you know? And so it's like, Why are you doing this, you know? Do you know what I'm talking about with Shapiro?
Yeah, and I think it's just, we talk about this a lot just together, not on air, but just the idea that all these people on the left and the right will say, well, you know, we need to talk more about policy. Stop talking about, you know, they'll tell the left, stop talking about race and homophobia. You're just, you know, you're just distracting everybody. We need to talk about what the government's doing and what policy and Congress and blah, 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 blah. And then the right will say the same thing. You know, like you said, Shapiro will get on the show and say that we need to worry about individual liberty and we need to make sure that, you know, this is happening in Congress and blah, blah, blah. But the thing that neither side wants to admit is that doesn't sell. Nobody wants to talk about that. That's not the exciting stuff.
Shapiro lives as an Orthodox Jew, which he admits he's an Orthodox Jew. He lives his fucking life out of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. So I can't really take too much of what he says all that seriously. But no, you're absolutely right. Like, for instance, with this podcast, we're probably not helping ourselves. We probably need to be on here saying stuff like, fuck yeah, Milo's the man, praise Jesus, praise the Confederacy. We would probably get a lot more listeners. I don't think what we're doing is what a lot of people really want to listen to. I think people really want to listen to screaming and hollering and, yeah, the fucking Confederacy, man, yeah, states' rights, you know, Jesus Christ is coming tomorrow, you know, I mean, literally, that's what they're saying. I mean, literally, like, people think Jesus is coming next week and that, you know, Trump's going to protect us from North Korea. when if you look into that situation, the North Korea situation is, there's nothing's going to happen with North Korea. Like, North Korea is not in no way, shape, or form going to harm the United States, but don't turn on the news, because Trump and the news helps him perpetuate this thing that Kim Jong-un's about to, like, fucking blow up the Statue of Liberty, you know?
And I hate to say this because I'll have to wash my mouth out with bleach after, but did you hear about the article that Bannon wrote for Breitbart, like, the first week he was back after he got the boot from the White House? You know, apparently him and Kush, they didn't get along, you know. And there are rumors that he referred to Jared and Ivanka as Javanka. Yeah. So, he wrote an article after Trump made his big Afghanistan speech. You know, he read from the teleprompter, and we had, like, teleprompter Trump and not, like, insane, coked out, you know, like, lunatic Trump. And he told us we were going back into Afghanistan. And fucking Bannon got on Breitbart and wrote an article saying, man, you fucking campaigned on we're not doing that. That the Iraq war was a mistake. That we needed to get the fuck out of Afghanistan, that all this nation building and going over there and meddling in the Middle East was bad, and that Hillary was bad for supporting it. And fucking Bannon called him out and said, why are you doing this? This is exactly what you said you wouldn't do. Trump made some excuses about how we weren't going to nation build. We're just going to go over there and blow everything up and take care of ISIS as if it's that easy and then just leave. We weren't going to nation build. So somehow, like, that's okay that he said he was never going to do this and now he's doing it. And no one is talking about this. No one. And when I looked in the comments section in Breitbart, literally saw comments of people saying, we will abandon you, Bannon, and Breitbart before we will ever abandon Donald Trump, no matter what he does.
What's so funny is that for 8 years, Wendy, 8 long fucking years, and everybody that's listening to me, if you spend time on social media, which pretty much everyone does nowadays for the most part, you know what I'm talking about. Depending on what sites you visit, we like to visit both sides of the argument to see what's going on so we can talk.
Yeah, but the conservative ones are so much more fun because they're so fucking crazy.
For 8 years, they called Barack Obama the N-word. Mm-hmm. They called his children monkeys. They called him a monkey.
They called his wife a man.
They said Michelle was a transsexual. Alex Jones is actually doing segments on trying to prove that Michelle Obama is a man, saying that he wasn't born in the United States. All this shit. This language about Barack Obama was completely and totally, especially in the white community, this language was completely and totally acceptable. Completely. You rarely saw someone come out and say, hey, I don't think you should call the president the N-word on Twitter or Facebook.
Right.
You rarely saw that. You did see it sometimes. I'm not saying it. You didn't see it at all, but it was rare. Say something about Donald Trump. Say anything negative about Donald Trump and white people freak the fuck out.
Right, and even when it's somebody that they purport to love, I mean, these are Breitbart readers who love Breitbart, who love Bannon, blah, 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 they don't want President Trump questioned at any point. I mean, he's talking about, like we said, literal policy, not culture wars, not clickbait. He literally wrote an article about policy. Why are you going into Afghanistan when we've been doing this for the last 16 years and it's never worked out? And in fact, it's arguably made things much, much, much worse. Why is that? Isn't that the definition of insanity? Keep doing something and expecting a different result? And that's basically what his article said. But these people do not want Trump criticized or questioned. They don't want his policies criticized or questioned, which just goes to show you that they're lying when they tell you they voted for him because of X, Y, or Z policy. Oh, I voted for him because of immigration. I voted for him because of abortion. No, you didn't. You voted for him because it's a cult of personality.
As far as Afghanistan goes, too, we don't really know, from the speech and stuff, we don't really know that much about what's actually going to... He didn't say, really, we don't know how many troops are going to be put on the ground. And I understand that... I understand the whole concept of we don't want to let our enemy know what we're about to do. But I think, yeah, sure, don't get on television and
explain the mission.
A, B, and C every step of the way. But I think absolutely you owe it to the American people, and definitely Congress, if not constitutionally, to explain somewhat at least how many troops. This is what he needs to explain, if you want to know. Ersin, what the fuck are you talking about? He needs to explain what? He needs to explain how many troops he's putting on the ground. He needs to explain how long they're going to be there. And he needs to explain what he expects the outcome to be. And, you know, what are we going to define as a win? You know, he's not doing any of that, which there's been some really shitty presidents in the past, and I understand that the United States goes and, you know, blows shit up all the time, and we do these clandestine black ops missions and stuff that we don't talk about. But when we commit troops to the ground for war in a country, which this war in Afghanistan, in the Middle East, this is now the longest war in American history, to my knowledge. The listeners will have to fact check me on that. But at least W or Clinton or fucking Bush the Elder would come on TV from the Oval Office and explain, hey, going to commit this many troops. We're going to do this.
Here's the timeline.
Here's the timeline. Even if they didn't follow the timeline, W's not, you know. Even if they didn't exactly, like, come through on... I'm saying, like, this is what we expect the President of the United States to do. How many troops? What's the timeline? What's the goal? What are we going to define as a win? I think... constitutionally, you could argue that we deserve that. I mean, at least Congress deserves to know.
I agree. I totally agree. Like, we do deserve to know that because it's like, what's going on here? And then I think even the reporters there, when they got to the portion where they were asking questions, they were trying to ask him questions about, like, a timeline, troops and all this. And he kept making these, like, really aggressive, like, I'm not telling you. And he says that the reason he's not saying it is because it would compromise the mission and we're not going to tell the enemy what we're doing. But I don't fucking buy it, because he's really saying that because he doesn't want to be questioned or criticized or critiqued after this goes down. He's looking backwards, like you said, at Hillary and, you know, when she was Secretary of State, Obama, Bush, and all that, and he's seeing how when this shit inevitably doesn't work out the way they think it will, or they don't have the result that they want, that those people get raked through the mud by the media, both sides. People get tired of wars. They don't like people coming back in body bags, obviously. And he doesn't want to have to answer for, well, you said it was going to be 6 months. You said it was only going to be 20,000 troops, blah, blah, blah. This way he's like playing CYA. Like, I'm going to cover my ass from the beginning, then y'all can't criticize me.
No, absolutely. Another thing, too, is since September 11th, one of the most horrific days in the history of the United States. What have we seen? We've seen a lot of things happen in the Middle East, a lot over the past 16 years. But what have we seen? What have we seen not work?
Right.
Whatever the fuck they do.
Right.
That's what's not working. Whatever Washington decides to do, that's not working. You know, so Trump is just perpetuating. He was supposed to drain the swamp, but all he's doing is perpetuating the shit for the past 16 years that has not worked. We know that this has not worked because we've sat through it and seen that this does not work. I mean, if that's what you want to do is commit troops to the ground because you want to destroy terrorism, I'm sure the Joint Chiefs could probably come up with the strategy. It's probably something around, the last time I heard a retired general actually talk about it, I believe the numbers he gave was 80 to 100,000 troops to completely eradicate the problem. But when you do that, you're also talking about completely eradicating countries off the map. And so we obviously, no one wants to go that far, not even Trump, you know, not even, no one has. So they keep doing whatever they're doing that's not really doing anything except exacerbating the problem.
Well, yeah, and I think the thing that Bannon was trying to imply, if not, I don't know if he said this explicitly, but it was the argument I made in the comment section and got, you know, called like a liberal commie bitch or whatever, was that he's obviously just selling out to the military industrial complex. Like you said, he's not doing anything different than his predecessors did, and we were both critical of Obama for doing the same thing, for criticizing W and then getting into the White House and just letting the Patriot Act, you know, we're going to keep all with the Patriot Act. Okay, bullshit, Obama, that's not why people elected you. We're going to ramp up the drone strikes. Not okay, man. Come on. Like that. You said we were getting the fuck out of there. Blah, 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 blah. So then, of course, Trump campaigns on we're not going to do all that shit. And like you said, he's going to drain the swamp. And he's the rogue, you know, punk rock president who's, you know, not going to do what these cronies in Washington want him to do. So then what does he go do? He gets in there, hires all these people who are supposed to advise him on not doing this stuff, then fires all those guys and does the same thing that all of his predecessors do. And we're supposed to believe, and then all these Trump people are like defending him after saying that he wouldn't do that. And it's like, that's what Bannon's saying. He's doing exactly what his predecessors did that he complained about.
How are you the punk rock president? I'd like somebody to explain this to me. If you're watching this video, listening to this video, this podcast, I would like somebody to really explain to me, how the fuck are you the punk rock president when you're putting troops on the ground and exacerbating war?
Right.
War is not punk rock. Punk rock has never been for war, okay? You know, I don't think that's a punk rock attitude to go and fucking kill people. That's never been. So, again, if you're young and you're listening to this and you think war is cool and you're going to piss off some SJWs with your war memes and you're like, kill ISIS memes or whatever, I'm here to tell you, like, you can do that, but it's not, please don't call it punk rock. I mean, it's not fucking rock and roll to go to war with other countries. Never has been. As a matter of fact, if you go back in history and look at, I think rock and roll was always about, like, peace and love and kind of getting high, and it definitely wasn't about fucking killing people. I mean, wasn't Vietnam protests all about anti-war, you know? And that was all kind of based around Woodstock and rock and roll and music.
Right. I mean, if we're saying that punk rock is being hawkish, then, like, fucking Dick Cheney's punk rock is fuck. Hillary Clinton is, like, so punk rock, you know? So is you know, Obama. I mean, people will quote this, like, on Breitbart, that Obama did more drone strikes than any other president. And I'm the first one to be like, yeah, so stop calling him a hippy-dippy socialist commie who, you know, just wants peace and love, man, because you're right. Yeah, he dropped the fucking drones. And you're not, your president, our president, I'll own him, okay? He's our president. Our president's not any different than any of those other. He's not going rogue. That's why, you know, Gorka and Bannon and all these people got fired, because it's not working out. He got there, all these people that are advising him to, you know, not do all these things and fall into the same traps as other administrations, it's not happening. He is, and he's not punk rock. He's the opposite. He sold out. You sold out to vote for him. He's not draining any swamp. He's not doing anything different. And we're going to go over there, and we're going to fuck shit up, and we're not going to have any fucking progress, and it's just going to exacerbate the problem. And all of his stupid fucking supporters are not going to be, like, intellectually honest about the fact that this is no different than every other administration that we criticize. Like, why do we keep doing this?
Going back to, so we can wrap up for episode 2, and we want to thank everybody who's listened to us. Please, we're on iTunes now. Yay! Woo! Golf clap. We're on iTunes now, so if you could subscribe to us, that'd be great. And the show comes out every Sunday night, Monday morning. So if you subscribe to us on iTunes, you'll get the show immediately once it's out. I'm on Facebook, Ersin Deroche, URSINDEROCHE. Follow me. I post the show there. Wendy's also on Facebook, Wendy Deroche, WENDY. Follow her. She posts the show. I'm on Twitter, UD3BareKnuckle, if you want to follow me on Twitter, where the show is also posted. And we talk about political stuff and discourse and social things that we're not supposed to talk about. Is there anything that you'd like to say before we go?
No, man, just, you know, keep fighting the good fight.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.